From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes. Thank you for watching, or listening to, rather, the Todd Starnes radio show. Thank you for watching on all of our social media platforms. And we are really beginning a new age in American history, and it is going to be a difficult phase and a difficult age for this nation as we maneuver through the aftermath of the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And I know that a lot of you, and I know this because many of you reached out to me over the weekend, and there have been a lot of conversations on social media, in the chat room, and just a lot happening. And a lot of people are still trying to grapple with all of this, get their head wrapped around what happened and where do we go next? What are the next steps? And we're going to talk about that today. And I will tell you that I, too, still have that sense of, it's really not even a sense of dread, but it's a sense of understanding that things have changed now in this country. And that, yes, there will come a time where we will share a laugh or two again. But right now, we need to really focus and understand what's going on in our country and what this means to all of us and to our kids and grandkids. And we're going to maneuver through that today. But I can tell you that we have a big problem in this country. And when you look at, for example, what's happening with all of the hate and the vitriol out there, we've been going over the numbers. We've been telling you and warning you really since 2015, when the very first poll came out from Pew Research that said for the first time in American history, a majority of Americans believe there should be limitations on free speech. And now we go through, and there was a time when people in the United States just mocked us for our faith in God. Then they canceled us because of our faith in God, and now they are killing us because of our faith in God. And we're going to have some very frank discussions about where we are. And I know that there's been a lot of hullabaloo over the weekend from many Republican lawmakers. And they're out there saying, they were all on the Sunday shows, including the governor of Utah, who, by the way, is as woke as the day is long. I know he's a Republican, but the governor of Utah is as woke as the day is long. He's the guy that goes out there and has been bending over backwards for the transgender community. Early on, he put out his preferred pronouns, the whole nine yards. So this guy is, and that's why the media loves this guy. And he's out there and he's talking about, well, you know, we need to have peaceful conversations. We need to sing Kumbaya. And I get that, but here's the problem with what the governor wants us to do. They're shooting the people that are singing Kumbaya. They don't want to have a conversation. I'm not sure why that's not resonating with a lot of these Republicans out there. They got to get it through their thick skulls here. These people don't want a conversation. They want to shut you up. And if you don't shut up, they want to take your life. This is where we are in America right now. And this is a direct product of what's been happening in our nation's public schools. It's been going on for so many years now. And we got to deal with it. Or if we don't deal with it, as Ronald Reagan said, every generation has to fight for freedom. And I'm telling you, Generation Z is ready for the fight. The question is, what are we going to do? Are we going to stand up, all you Gen Xers out there, you millennials, you boomers? We're going to have to answer to this. We're going to have to answer for this. So you've got all that happening. You've got senators out there on the Sunday shows saying that, well, you know, there's there's bad people on both sides of it. No, 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 no. That is not true. Only one side is attacking people because of what they believe. And that, by the way, is the Democrat side of the aisle. Only one side. So whenever you hear a Republican utter that phrase, both sides, they're either a rhino or a closet Democrat. You can take it to the bank, one or the other. That's not going to fly anymore. And I don't think it is going to fly anymore. You know, Charlie Kirk actually predicted this. This was not that long ago that he sat down for an interview. And, you know, Charlie said a lot of things that really rubbed a lot of people in the establishment the wrong way. But he was spot on when he had this to say about political violence in America.
Charlie Kirk presidency 15 years from now?
No.
No?
No. I mean, yeah. I'm enjoying myself. But this is going to get really nasty. Everyone listen to this. I just hope you understand. They're going to be coming after us. They're going to be following us in the middle of the night. They're going to be breaking into our houses. You think I'm joking? They're going to be violent. That you will not be able to walk the streets of the MAGA hat without your physical health be put in jeopardy. And I hope it doesn't get that way. I hope that this clip gets unearthed and everything's like wonderful. I hope that the country comes together and we have a beautiful unitarian healing moment in September.
Yeah, I do too. That was just last year, ladies and gentlemen. And here we are. And Charlie was right. I mean, you don't really call him a prophet, but he predicted this. And I'm not sure that anybody actually listened. You know, we've been talking about this for a long time on this show. I don't like this new normal, and I hope you don't either. And so the question is, what are we going to do about it? What should we do about it? You've got thousands of people. I hate to see the jobs report next month because you've got thousands, maybe even tens of thousands by the time it's all said and done, people losing their jobs because they're out there celebrating the assassination of a 31-year-old father. They're celebrating, they're mocking people, and they're calling for people to go out there and target even more conservatives. These are very dangerous people. And the media is complicit in all of this. It's just so disgusting what's happening. So anyway, we're going to follow through on a lot of this. There are a lot of angles we're going to cover today. We're following any sorts of breaking news on the investigation. We now know that the gunman, and I'm trying to follow through here on the LGBT stuff, but from what we understand, the guy was in a relationship with another guy, which would technically make him gay. But then the other gay dude was transforming into a woman. So does that still make – I don't know what that makes. And apparently he was a furry. And no, I'm being dead serious here. This is no joke zone right now. So the killer was involved in a relationship with a gay trans dude who was a furry. I mean, this is nuts. And my question is, do you buy this narrative that the guy just did it alone? I'm finding it a hard time to wrap my head around that this guy was a lone wolf, and the FBI is being rather coy about it. As a matter of fact, Dan Bongino, and here's what gets, well, all right, we're going to play the Bongino clip. And then I've got some things to say about Kash Patel and Bongino. Cut 22, please.
Is there any connection at all between the person who was asking the question about mass shooters and trans killers, or was that just a stunning coincidence when that single shot was fired?
Well, we're investigating that. I don't want to say conclusively right now if there was a connection or not. Charlie was known to speak out about these issues. He was a powerful voice. It's not terribly uncommon for him to get questions like that. However, we are looking into that. Any potential connection here,
okay, so
we're going to scrub.
I'm not drawing conclusions from your answer, but you're saying it's a possibility. Is that what I hear you saying?
We're looking into everything, Bill. There's not going to be a stone left unturned if there was anyone involved who aided abetted. I can't say that in strong enough terms. Every single FBI asset on this team is being applied and used in this investigation.
All right, so we got really no information there, and that's fine. I mean, it's the early stages of the investigation. Cash Patel also on Fox, and here's what Cash Patel had to say. He's talking about apparently the guy was going to kill himself and did not follow through with that. Cut 21.
What I'm able to say is I addressed it partially earlier, is that the written note, we believe what did exist, and we have evidence to show what was in that note, which is, and I'm going to summarize, basically saying the suspect wrote a note saying, I have the opportunity to take out Charlie Kirk and I'm going to take it. That note was written before the shooting. Evidence of its existence, we now have learned, existed before the shooting, was in the location in the suspect and partner's home. But we have since learned that the note, even though it has been destroyed, we have found forensic evidence of the note, and we have confirmed what that note says because of our aggressive interview posture at the FBI.
So a lot of folks are sort of bothered by Cash Patel here. He's sort of been all over the place. It's just a weird dynamic there. We've talked about this before. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole just now. But let me say this. It bothers me that Dan and Cash are going on Fox News and they're not standing in front of microphones taking questions from journalists of all different backgrounds. We need to be having press conferences. Fox News Channel cannot and should not be the official mouthpiece of the Trump administration. We need to be opening all of this up, and we need to be able to ask questions. But when Fox is going on in a when Patel and Bongino are going on Fox in a controlled environment, and we don't know what agreements were made, we don't know if the reporters are being told don't ask certain questions. That all goes away when you put them before the cameras and the rest of the conservative media and everybody else can ask questions as well. So, look, we're going to be taking your calls on this. Again, a lot to go through today, a lot of memorial services over the weekend. I was honored to speak at one last night in the Memphis area, and we'll tell you a little bit about that. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Attention investors with a 401k, IRA, or retirement account. The dollar has lost over 25% of its value in the past 5 years, and it's only going to get worse. Are you prepared for what's about to happen next? We are Advantage Gold, the number one customer-rated gold IRA company in America, and we are helping Americans prepare for the great de-dollarization by diversifying their portfolios with physical precious metals. We've partnered with former chief economist of the IMF, Kenneth Rogoff, to give away his latest book called Our Dollar, Your Problem, a must-read for investors. Call 800-741-GOLD, and we'll rush a free copy of Our Dollar, Your Problem, to your doorstep and include our special gold IRA investing kit valued at $49. The dollar is losing value fast. Call 800-741-GOLD now to get your free copy of Our Dollar, Your Problem and our free gold IRA investing kit. Supplies are limited. Consult your tax and financial professional before investing. Call 800-741-4653. That's 800-741-GOLD.
And welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stern Show. I have just been so impressed by the massive, massive outpouring of support, not only for Charlie Kirk, but really for young people around the nation who just have been devastated. This is, and let me explain this to you. I truly believe that when you look at the life of Charlie Kirk, this was a civil rights icon. I mean, you are watching a generation of young people, a generation that have been told that their views are not, they're not permissible in polite society, that they had to keep their viewpoints quiet. This has been shocking. I've spoken at two of these rallies just in the Memphis area over the past week. And I tell you, I'm just moved by the fact that people are coming up and saying, you know what, I feel like for the first time ever in my life, I'm not alone, that I'm able to say what's on my mind. I'm able to share my viewpoints on things. And people have really been stifled. I want to give you an example of what I'm talking about. It's almost like we've been set free, right? That these college kids, these high school kids, that they've been given permission now to come out and say, you know what, I am a conservative, and that's nothing to be ashamed about. Because for years now, for at least the past decade, and it's gone on longer than that, but at least the past decade, there has been this movement afoot at the academic world, in journalism, in Hollywood, in everything to silence, not only silence conservatives, but to make students, to make young people feel like that they have, they're lesser than as a result of their political beliefs. And a lot of it has to do with the language that's being used. Now, I stirred up a little hornet's nest on my personal Facebook page over the weekend, and I meant to. Because I got to tell you something. I have had so many people unfollow me. I don't know if this is like you, and I really don't care, but I've had a lot of people unfollow me. And the reason why is because I've been standing up and defending Charlie Kirk. Now, let me say something here. If you're one of those people and you get upset about that, you need to go ahead and unfriend, block me, do whatever you want to do. Because if you don't do it, I will. But I noticed after Trump, when Trump won the primary, right? He won the Republican primary back in 2015. I remember after I came out publicly and endorsed Donald Trump, I started getting blowback from a lot of people. Of course, the left, I get that. But I was really not expecting the blowback I was going to get from, at the time, we called them Never Trumpers. And all of a sudden, that wing of the party, and there were a lot of so-called Christians in that group. And the Christians, quite frankly, in some cases, are the nastiest. Just awful, awful behavior. And I was known at that point as the right-wing extremist, the far-right commentator. And then that's when the other insults started flying. And I don't think I'm alone here. I think many of you experienced the same thing, where they started calling you a Nazi or a white supremacist or a Christian nationalist, a racist. And I just ignored it. You know, at Fox, you're not allowed to fight back. They just tell you. Fox tells you just to ignore it. But the problem is, if you don't speak out, if you don't say something, then perception becomes the reality in a lot of people's minds. And then I noticed that all of a sudden the invitations that I would get year in and year out from a lot of these Christian organizations, and some of them Christian writers conferences, Christian events, those started to dry up. And I was told privately the reason why, and it was because of my politics. I was too conservative. Now, again, I should have pushed back, and I didn't. I'm like, all right, fine. If that's the way you want to do things, that's great. But then I noticed, like with the media, they always identify me as a far-right extremist. What that does is it marginalizes who I am, and it also puts a target on my back. And the media has been doing this to a lot of conservative leaders out there. You know what? I'm a small business owner. I employ about 20 or so people. People rely on me for a paycheck. They don't mention that. They don't mention that I'm a best-selling author or an Edward R. Murrow award-winning journalist. That doesn't matter to them. I'm a far-right extremist. That paints a picture, a scary picture. I've got more to say about this. But I'm telling you, now is the time to start pushing back against these insults coming from the left. And we've got to push back hard. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a war. The other side, they're shooting. What are we going to do? 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. A major retail chain just canceled a massive order, leaving MyPillow with an overstock of classic MyPillows. Now it's your gain. For a limited time, MyPillow offering their entire classic collection at true wholesale prices. Get a standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Want more? Upgrade to a queen size for only $24.98 or king size for $29.98. Snag body pillows for $39.98 and versatile multi-use pillows for just $12.98. Visit MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 to score these amazing deals. Plus, when your order totals $75 or more, you'll receive $100 in free digital gifts, no strings attached. That's right, premium pillows at unbeatable prices and bonus gifts to top it off. Don't wait. Head to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 now. And don't forget to use promo code STARNS to grab your standard MyPillow for only $19.98 while supplies last. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. We start today in Memphis, Tennessee. Cameron is listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Cameron. What's on your mind today?
Oh, not much. I was just listening to your last comment before you went to break, and you said the left is shooting, and I was wondering who's shooting from the left. I'm going to hang up and listen to you, but that's the only thing I had to say.
So, I'm sorry. Say that again.
As far as I know about it. If you're,
Cameron,
if you're speaking on the Kirk incident. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, say that one more time. I didn't catch what you were asking.
Oh, yeah, I was saying before you went to break, you were speaking, sounds like you were speaking on the Charlie Kirk incident.
Yes, that's right, yes.
So you were saying that the left is shooting. So I was trying to figure out what did you mean by that reference, because I don't know of anyone shooting Charlie Kirk that was from any leftist party or wing or anything like that. Not that I am. I was just curious about that because, you know, it doesn't sound like the facts that I've been reading, and that's why I was asking.
What have you been reading, if you don't mind me asking, Cameron? What have you heard about the shooter?
Well, I've just been reading, basically, Newsline drops has been coming to my phone, you know, saying that the guy, basically his whole family is Republican, and that the mother didn't even know if anybody in the family was a Democrat. So,
well,
you know,
I was
reading again this little thing about how...
Let me answer that first part, and then I want to get to the other thing here. Now, I'm glad you called in, Cameron, because there's so much disinformation out there. That is true. That his family, Robinson's family, is Republican, and it was the grandmother who said she didn't know if there were any Democrats in the family. She also doesn't think her grandson pulled the trigger.
Okay.
What was the next part of what we were gonna say? And I'll have a follow up, but I wanted to hear that last question you asked.
No, it was just basically pertaining to the same thing. I was trying to, like I said, as far as I knew, he was a follower of, I can't think of the guy's name, but he was also a right winger as well, the shooter, from what I've read.
No,
that he was not say he was saying that Kirk or something wasn't Christian enough or something like that.
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, and this is the reporting coming from The Independent, as well as Fox News, and there are several others that are reporting very similar information, that the transgender roommate and the boyfriend of this guy says that he hates conservatives and Christians, and that the markings, and this is coming from the FBI, that there were, you know, anti-fascist markings on the bullets and the rifle. So I think one of the reasons where people are getting confused, there was a photograph of the suspect in the dorm room, and he was wearing some sort of a Republican T-shirt. That was an AI-generated image. That wasn't a real image. And so, yeah, this guy is a leftist, and he also, by the way, Cameron, spoke at a Democrat socialist gathering in Salt Lake City just a while back. So, and there's video of that.
Okay. So, I have to look into that. I'm not quite sure about that.
No, I would encourage you.
I know you're going to do your research. I have no doubt about it that you've done your research. But I just got one more question, and it's just a simple question. It really doesn't amount to anything. But I just wonder, and, you know, everybody's preference is their preference, but I just wonder, why does every time someone mention his whatever, roommate, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever the case may be, Why do I always have to put the transgender part in there?
Well,
hey, that's what the person is. I understand that. But it seems like people are trying to place some kind of emphasis on maybe, I don't know, his mental status or his state of mind or his sexual preference or something like that. I'm not sure. But it seems like people are trying to give him some kind of a put a disdain on him by saying that. And I'm just wondering why.
Sure.
Is that such an important thing to say?
It's a fair question to ask, and I'll do my best to try to answer that for you, Cameron. Also on the gun, the weapon, and the ammo, there were pro-transgender messages that were inscribed in that. Also, the question that was asked just before the shooting was about transgenderism. So again, as the investigators are coming out and they're trying to develop a motive, and they haven't told us what that motive is, that is a part of the conversation now, and it has to be.
Let me ask you this: from what I've seen of the video from him being shot, it was like he was talking about gang violence. Was there a question that? Before that I missed? That
was there was. It was a question about transgenders and guns and whether or not transgender people should get guns. And we can find that, and I'm happy to play that. Our team can hunt that down. But again, when you look at the numbers of mass shootings just of late involving people who are dealing with gender dysphoria and that transgender issue, it is a disturbing, massive increase. And that has to be addressed, because just up until a few years ago, transgenderism and gender dysphoria was treated as a mental illness. And now we're being told to celebrate that. And as this guy had written in a journal that he had, or this goes back to the other shooting, the Minnesota shooting, where the person said, you know what, I did not want to be this way. I don't want to be this way. But instead of getting that person help, Cameron, you had people surrounding him actually affirming his illness, his situation. It's just putting a lot of people in unnecessary harm's way.
Okay. I understand.
If that makes sense.
I must say, I don't want to cut you off there. I just want to say this. And I don't want to offend anyone when I say this, but I kind of think myself that it is also a mental thing, but I was just wondering why they kept being brought up, because I didn't know that they were trying to, I ain't gonna say trying to, I will say I didn't know that people were making a correlation between the two as far as shootings and the type of people that are doing the shootings. I didn't know of that comparison or that track that somebody may be trying to put a number on, or whatever the case may be, to link the two.
It's a disturbing trend, and it's a sad thing, Cameron, because these people need help. They need treatment, but we're affirming so much stuff now. I mean, when you look at, and again, I'm a good Southern guy who's been around the buffet a time or two. But when you talk about obesity and people being overweight, there was a time in America where that was a bad thing. You wanted people to lose weight and be healthy so they don't get diabetes or, they don't have heart attacks. And now we're out there affirming so many people who actually need a good talking to, saying, hey, you don't need to go back to the buffet again. So that's what I'm trying to get at here, is this is not shaming anybody. This is saying these people need help, and we've got to stop this nonsense. We just have to. Cameron, thank you for the call, and thank you for your questions. And I want to play, Dylan, I think what you were able to track down, this is the question that was asked right before the shooting.
So do you know how many transgender Americans have been mass shooters over the last 10 years?
Too many.
Okay.
So So that was the question, and then the shooting happened very, like, just within a matter of seconds or so. Do you think that was a coincidence, ladies and gentlemen? You think that was a coincidence that question was asked right before the shooting? I have a hard time believing coincidences when it comes to things like this. I truly do. I want to explain something on this program, and I want to get back and finish the thought before we have to take a break here. We're going to, on this program, we take naysayers. We take people who agree with us as far as phone calls. But let me say this. We will do our very best to always maintain a platform where people can have debate and conversation. And we come armed with the facts every single day. What I say about the transgender community is not said out of hate or mocking. It is said out of concern, because those people need help. And when you've got one out of three college students who believe violence is an appropriate way to shut down speech you disagree with, we've got a massive problem in our nation. This is one of the reasons why you're seeing all of these people acting out, celebrating, destroying Charlie Kirk vigils, attacking people. That's not who we are. Unfortunately, thanks to the policies of the Democrats and wishy-washy Republicans, that's who we become. And I just don't think we're going to be able to sustain ourselves as a country. I truly don't. Now, I want to get back to something I said here. All these people in the media, and they're labeling you a right-wing extremist. Anybody ever does that to you? I don't care where you are. Grocery store, gas station, restaurant, you're being interviewed, and they call you a far-right extremist? You need to ask them a question, an immediate question. What do you mean by that? Give me evidence. Why are you calling me a right-wing extremist? What is it about me that makes me right-wing? You've got to push back. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to do that every single time moving from this day forward, anytime anybody uses that kind of language, because in my estimation, that is hate speech. And I'm tired of conservatives being targeted and bullied. Now, here's who I am, and if this is what they believe makes me a right-wing extremist, I'm a Bible-believing Christian. I love my country. I love my family. I believe that America is the most exceptional nation on the planet. I also believe in the Constitution, and I believe that Every American should be afforded the God-given right to live their life the way they see fit. And that includes in your bedroom. What you do in there is between you and your spouse and Almighty God, not the government. I believe in free speech and freedom of the press. And we try to do that here on this program. And we're one of the few radio shows out there, A, that takes calls from listeners, and B, we'll actually have a debate with somebody who disagrees with me. And you saw that with Cameron just a few moments ago. I don't think he necessarily agreed with me on a lot of stuff, but I think a lot of that was just influenced by the disinformation that's out there in the mainstream media right now. But I also believe in the right to bear arms and freedom of association. I grossly oppose the hyphen crowd. We are all Americans. I oppose labels. These are the values that they say make me a right-wing extremist. And you know why? You know why? My values have never changed, period. Never changed. From day one, they've never changed. And that's because my beliefs are built on a firm foundation rooted in God's word. I mean, that's why I believe what I believe here. I'm just sort of laying all of this out. We have a lot of new listeners, and I want to set the groundwork here for where we're going. But I can tell you this, God hates evil, and he commands us to hate evil, so I hate evil. And there's a lot of evil in our country right now, folks, a lot of evil. We do not need to be singing kumbaya with evil. And if you've got a problem with what I believe, you know what? If you're on Facebook, there's a nifty little button called unfriend, and I would encourage you to use it. And if you don't, I'll do it for you. And I know that some of you out there are saying, but Todd, WWJD,
What would Jesus do? He would love people. He would love them. And that's the greatest commandment, is to love.
Yeah, God commands us to love each other unconditionally. And I believe that. But that doesn't mean I have to like you. We just got to love you, but not like you. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. I'm a little long-winded. I got a lot to say today. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Oh, by the way, so the National Guard is coming to town. Dylan, I got to tell you what happened to me over the weekend. This is going to get, I just want to go ahead and say, right out of the blue, this is going to get me put on church prayer list. I'm just going to, I got to confess. So somebody sent me a photograph. First of all, let me back up. So the National Guard is coming to Memphis, and I can tell you that later on this afternoon, President Trump will be making that official in the White House, and we're going to have our very own reporter in the Oval Office when that happens, which is kind of exciting. Anyway, a lot of the, so we decided, and I got this idea from our friends at Patriot Talk 920 in Houston and WDUN in Gainesville, Georgia. I thought, you know what, we got to roll out the welcome wagon. So Dylan, you know, Memphis is known for great food, and so we reached out to a lot of restaurants in the area, and we said, hey, look, National, we got to roll out the red carpet, we got to feed the troops, and people just, it's been overwhelming.
I'm curious to hear who actually wants to help
well,
our troops.
You've got is it Rum Boogie?
Rum Boogie.
Rum Boogie Cafe in downtown. They're going to feed the National Guard. If you come by in your uniform, you're going to get a pulled pork sandwich with slaw and a side.
That's awesome.
If you're going to Elwood Shack, which is awesome, great hot dogs there, by the way. Elwood Shack is feeding people and Mortimer's, which is another great restaurant owned by conservatives in the Memphis area. And our good buddy, Jim LaSapio, he owns Rum Boogie. He also owns Dale's in South Haven. And National Guard troops, if you're listening and you're coming to Memphis, you go to Dale's in South Haven, order the country fried steak, and you can thank me later.
They're going to need some healthy options. You know, they got to, you know, be in the best shape to do their work.
So, yes. So is it Nutrition Balance, I believe? So they reached out, and they want to give, you know, smoothies, and I guess if any of the National Guard troops drink the liquefied lawn clippings,
there you go.
They're going to get that. So anyway, and then a chiropractor reached out, and he said, hey, look, any of the National Guard troops need an adjustment, we will do that free of charge.
We're very welcoming here.
I'm telling you, it is so exciting, and that is the spirit. That's what I see. This is our community here, Dylan. So then we got word that the Pink Pony, the strip club, the Gentleman's Club, they put up a sign and they said, we want to welcome the National Guard troops. They get free, they get in free of charge. So I thought, that can't be. So I called and I explained who I was. And they said, no, it's true. And I said, well, I got to tell you, I'm a Baptist. I said, but, you know, it sounds like the dancing ladies are patriots, so, you know, God love them. Put them on the prayer list. So then I went by just to make sure, and I took a photo of the sign that said, you've seen the sign.
Yes.
You've seen this. So I had to pull in, and I'm like, I just kept the car running.
Yeah.
Do you need valet? No, I'm good. I'm a Baptist.
I was never here.
I am a, you do not see me.
I'm a journalist.
Oh, geez, Lou.
Like it's a good business decision
we can't let them advertise. All that to say, they're rolling out the red carpet for the National Guard in Memphis, Tennessee. We'll talk more about that coming up later. I tell you, I'm going to be getting emails. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Maybe they should go to church. Yeah, definitely church.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. So last night we had another impromptu Charlie Kirk vigil, and it was so beautiful. And I've been watching the videos from all over the country. I know that you folks in the Houston area had a huge rally in downtown, and I'd love to hear from you if you were there. Out in California, there was a massive, massive vigil out on the beach in Huntington Beach, California. And also there was another area in Southern California where one of the Calvary Chapel churches, not our friend Jack Gibbs, but another, there must have been several thousand people there. Long Island, New York, the same thing. And in Collierville, Tennessee, which is a suburb of Memphis, it's one of the easternmost suburbs, we had about 2,000 people come out. And if you haven't been to Collierville, it's a quintessential southern town. They have the square, and there's a gazebo. And, Dylan, you know that a lot of people your age that like to get engaged down there, you know, they pop the big question down there in the park.
It's very, very true.
Very
it's
romantic.
A beautiful park.
And they've got the railroad there, so you've got the rail station.
It's like a history museum outside.
Yeah, it's really amazing. And it's a vibrant, fun downtown. So anyway, they had 2,000 people turn out last night. And it was so packed that people were having to sit, like, you know, on the at the rail depot, they've got the railings. And so kids were sitting up on the railings, and guys were popping the tailgates on their trucks, and people were sitting in the pickup trucks, and I was we had so many great speakers there. I was honored to be one of the speakers, and I'm trying to figure out. I'm like, wait a second, I know that person. They're just again. There was a sea of people, and Dylan, guess who it was? It was Little Starnes.
Little Starnes.
Little Starnes came.
Not so Little Starnes.
No, not well. He's 6'1", 6'2", 6'3".
Like 6'3". Oh, giant Starnes.
Giant Starnes. So. So he gathered up a bunch of his buddies from high school, and they all came down to the rally. There were so many young people there. And the guys were like, you know, we listen to Charlie Kirk all the time. And I had no idea. I had no idea Little Starnes was listening to Charlie Kirk.
Yeah, I talked to a bunch of people. I do Young Life at Briarcrest Christian School. And it was surprising the amount of people that actually had heard or listened to frequently of Charlie Kirk and how, you know, distraught they were. It's really encouraging to see so many young people turn out to these vigils and even starting, you know, turning point of, you know, clubs at their schools.
Ann Elizabeth Matheny is in charge of the Heartland Turning Point USA chapter. She's one of, I think, 8 district managers for the organization. And she's actually from Memphis, and she's been on the radio show a time or two. And so she was there and said over, 33,000, and that number has probably gone up, over 33,000 inquiries to start Turning Point USA chapters at schools across the country. And I love that, and we need that. And especially at the middle school and the high school level, if nothing else, to combat the communist propaganda that these kids are getting shoved every single day. But we've got to do that. I'm curious, though. And by the way, thank you to... Gosh, the great mayor of Collierville and the alderman and our friend State Senator Brent Taylor was there. State Representative Kevin Vaughn was there. So many great patriots out there. And there was a pastor of a church, Grace Valley Church, who got up and just presented the gospel message like Charlie Kirk would do. And I got to wondering how many churches across America, and I'm curious, ladies and gentlemen, I want to hear from you on this. How many of your pastors actually preached a message about what happened this past week? How many of your churches held prayer times? Maybe how many of you pastors out there just threw out your sermon and said, you know what, folks, we got to talk about this. And there are a lot of churches that sort of like, you know, I would say danced around the issue out there, but there were some, and my goodness, Bellevue Baptist Church and the new pastor there, I mean, just what a powerful message. And he just really, really connected with people last night. So 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to Statesville, North Carolina. Pastor Cliff. Pastor, tell me about the message you preached on Sunday.
Todd. It just brought to mind what you said about how we're to love everyone, saying kumbaya and go all that. the message I preached yesterday was beware the leaven and add salt. And it's Jesus' own words. He was telling the disciples in Matthew to beware of the leaven, the corruption of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees were the legalists. I mean, can't have any fun, can't do anything. Give me your list. I'll give you my list, and let's be mad at everybody. And then the Sadducees, they didn't believe in the resurrection or anything spiritual. They were the liberals. I mean, just whatever. And then Jesus also told them, beware of the leaven of the Herodians. And that's just the licentiousness, just the immorality, just anything goes. And he told us to be salt and light. So beware of the leaven and add some salt. And Charlie really added a lot of salt. My daughter's mother-in-law and father-in-law are in London, and she interviewed a man on the street, a young man, I would say probably in his 20s, and he was praising Charlie Kirk for standing true to God's word, caused him to get into the scripture, accept Jesus as Savior. And I mean, wow, it spread all the way to a London? I mean, really?
Millions of people.
Thousands and thousands. Sure. I mean, wow, what a blessing, what a testimony. And so if the church would just be aware, I mean, legalism is a death knell to the churches. And certainly liberalism, nothing matters. And then just live like you want to, like Herod and his group did. And there's no hope for America unless we stand up and say, look, there's a right, there's a wrong.
Pastor, let me ask you this. Pastor, let me ask you this. So it just seems like over the past, I don't know, 10 or 15 years, a lot of the ministers coming out of seminaries, and I'm talking about all the denominations, it's just that they're afraid, they're timid, that they don't want to tackle issues that might offend people. I mean, you've had some major mega churches out there even say we should practice pronoun hospitality, which I'm sitting back going, okay, well, do we serve liquor during communion to the alcoholics? I don't understand if we're going to be hospitable. I don't get that. Where do you draw the line?
Sure. Yeah, and it is the seminaries. And you mentioned Bellevue. And yesterday I even mentioned Adrian Rogers, how he saved the Southern Baptists from, you know, if it's not in Scripture, we can be liberal on it. I mean, it's okay, you know, to go to the movies or whatever. But he said, if it's in the Scripture, we're going to stand on that. And I tried to warn the people back then. I was in my late teens, early 20s. And if we don't stand true, then what comes out of the seminary will be standing behind the pulpit and we'll be preaching things that are not according to the Word of God and will not take a stand on thus saith the Word of God. And so that's where we are. The pastors are afraid. I'm bivocational. Now, hang on, in case you don't know what that means, I work a full-time job. My son, he's also a pastor. And he and I work together, and then I've been at the same church for 30 years. And the people that come out the back door, it's like, thank you for preaching the truth. It's just the truth. And I even mentioned the word Democrat and Republican yesterday.
Sweet Lord,
and
what?
Nobody got up and left.
Wow.
I mean, it's evil. Choose a side. Maybe it is the lesser of two evils. But open your eyes and look where the country is headed. If God's people are not the salt and the light.
I mean, Pastor, I wrote a book a couple of years back saying the problem was the church was on a sodium-free diet. You know, we're not doing anything to anybody, you know, and it's just as bland as can be. But I want to ask you about the church, because it seems to me, and I get it, we're talking about political parties and they're godless heathens and both. It just seems to me that when you look at the political platforms, the party platforms, the Republicans are closer to biblical teaching than the Democrats are. Am I out of line by saying that?
No, sir. And you mentioned last week sometime about the convention in Charlotte, North Carolina, and the platform was, you know, God is out of the Democratic Party. And it look at the fruits of it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you even, you know, talk the Ten Commandments and teach it just from a common sense point of view, don't steal, don't kill. Wow.
You know what bothers me, Pastor, about all this? You see that kid, Tyler Robinson, walking down the street?
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't give him a second glance. He looks like a kid that would be in the Eagle Scouts or, you know, go to your local Presbyterian church or something. You wouldn't think twice about it. And those are the people, that's the concern, because Those are the folks that we've got to worry about, and we don't know who they are.
Sure, sure. It also leads into this. My wife and daughter teach at a Christian school. They just recently got their concealed carry permits, and the school is bringing in the sheriff's department in Iredell County, and allowing them, since they're outside the city limits, to be armed during school.
Wow, is that right?
Because it's like you said, we don't know.
No, we don't. And you know what? I heard from so many people over the weekend who just said what you told me, that they're going to apply, they're getting their carry concealed permit or their concealed carry permit. They never thought to get one before, and I'm glad people are doing that, because we all have to be on guard. It is a very dangerous nation that we live in.
It is. It really is. And I know at our church we have security in place, cameras and all that outside. Someone gets up before the service, checks the parking lot. And why in the world? What are we living in? But here we are.
True. And our church as well, we have security, and they're very good. And, we feel safe and secure, but you never know. Pastor, thank you for the call, and a good hearing from you. And thanks for the good Bible-based advice as well. 901-260-5926. Curious, did your church discuss or talk about Charlie Kirk? And I'm curious what they had to say about it. 901-260-5926. Let's go to Danny in Selmer, Tennessee, listening to us on 93.1. Danny, are we back on the air now?
Hey, good afternoon, sir. I'm cheating. I'm listening online.
You got my hopes up. They're working so hard to get that signal back up on the air.
I'm online. You know, the signal's pretty weak over
sure.
here from where I'm at. So,
Danny, what's on your mind?
Well, I had kind of a general thought that I think everyone, no matter your stance, it's a United States citizen should be thinking about. And some of what's going on is there's a lot of people, be they foreign countries or political organizations or religious beliefs, so on and so forth, that are totally against the United States of America, Western culture. They want to defeat us. They've tried. They've slowly been doing, like getting certain people into education system, getting people into owning businesses, things like that. So they grow and grow, get into politics and things. And what's going on is they can't defeat us, because pretty much when we're united, the United States, we're pretty strong and we can't be defeated. So all these foreign countries and stuff, what they're doing is they're filtering in things to destabilize the country. Something that was an issue that we could have compromised on and talked about if we had different opinions several years ago. Now, these people are stepping in, using psychological warfare, and making it a huge issue that it is insurmountable, and all we can do is fight and argue and kill each other. And that's their goal.
So you think there may be something going on here, Danny, where maybe we've had some international involvement here to destabilize the country?
Oh, there most definitely is. That's just one factor. But there's, look at certain religions that are anti-Christian. They're doing the same thing. You know, the extremists. I'm not talking about just regular people, but the extremists. They need to destabilize the United States so they can overtake the United States. And if we're not getting along with each other, if you can't say hi to your neighbor, you'd rather shoot him than say hi to him, we got problems. And they'll just walk in and take over.
Danny, well said. My friend, we've got to leave it there. I am super late for a break. It is good hearing from you, and thanks for listening. Appreciate it. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I want to play something real quick here as we go to break. You know, a lot of liberals are losing their jobs because, and there's a list being compiled, some 50,000 people that are out there celebrating Charlie's assassination. And people are losing their jobs over this. I want you to listen to Cut 13.
So y'all got me fired from my job.
So I lost my job.
Fired from my job. I was just fired from my job. I was just fired from my job. I was just fired from my job.
So I was just fired from my job.
You're fired. Get out. You're fired.
So thank you, Mr. President. So I'm curious, your thoughts on this. You know, a lot of people, there is actually a division in the conservative world over whether or not we should be getting all of these people fired from their jobs. What say you? 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Hey, welcome back to the Todd Stern Radio Show. Hey, let's go to Gainesville, Georgia. Louie on WDUN, our terrific, awesome affiliate out there. Hi, Louie. What's going on?
Well, Todd, I've been listening to the world events, I reckon, but my comment is on employers firing people who would celebrate the death of any human being. My comment is, if you don't want the devil working for you, you need to fire these people, and hopefully they'll get saved and come back to you, and you can hire a Christian. And that's all I got to say about that.
Wow. Louie, I like your thinking. What does the Bible say? God says hate evil, so I hate evil. That means I'm not going to be hiring evil.
Amen.
You know,
that's the way I feel, Todd. Yeah. I mean, anybody that would celebrate the death of any human being, it's as far as an employer having somebody to do that. Yeah, I would fire them, and I'd call them into my office and tell them why I am firing them. And if they won't accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, come back to see me, and I'll put them back to work and might give them a raise.
Oh,
and I'm going to hang up and listen to you, Todd, if that's okay.
Louie, that's good with me. I might get Louie to host the show. I like the way he thinks. I mean, could you imagine? Dylan, get out of here. Dylan.
Yes, Todd.
You need Jesus, and you need a new job in that order.
Priorities.
That's it. But again, you know, here's the thing, and a couple of Delta Airlines guy pilots, and I think an American Airlines pilot, and they were out there, and they were, I think they were placed on leave. I don't want somebody celebrating murder and endorsing murder flying my airplane, and I don't want, this is why I don't go out to eat a lot anymore, is I'm always afraid now that people, they know who I am. I don't want somebody like spitting in my food or putting poison in my food. What am I going to tell the family? I thought it was paprika. Didn't know it was, you know, arsenic. Jeez, Lou. But you just, that makes me very nervous. And then to have teachers, and we're going to get into more of this a little bit later on, but now you've got Clemson University, and they've got three teachers out there, and those teachers are now endorsing more violence against conservatives. They want people to assassinate more conservatives. You want those kinds of people teaching your kids, ladies and gentlemen? I don't think so. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Let's get to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. Quinn in Crosby, Texas, listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Hi, Quinn. What's on your mind today?
Thank you, Todd, to take my call. I appreciate you. Before I started, I know a month or two ago you can have seen me some books. I just want you to know I have not received the books.
Yeah, well, what we can do is we'll put you, you know, after our conversation, we'll put you on hold and we'll get your information, but just talk to our team about that.
Okay, thank you. Well, my mind today is the people that go out celebrating Charlie Kirk's death, they deserve to get fired. And I hope nobody in this country, any company, do not hire those people. They are evil. They do not deserve to get a job.
Yeah, I'm with you on this one, Quinn. I don't see it. This is not a matter of free speech. This is a matter of, do you really want to be working in a cubicle next to a guy that wants to kill you because you're pro-life?
And the doctor get fired today? He deserved that. I just hope that you strip his license. He have no business.
You know, that does concern. I mean, imagine that. You're going in for major surgery, and your doctor may be some sort of a woke leftist. I mean, good Lord.
I know. That's scary. And next thing, for liberal, I just ask them, pick themselves to the mirror, take a look at themselves, ask themselves, what color blood are we when we get cut? If they can answer me that question, then you can go out and kill all the conservative all they want.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all our blood is red.
Yeah. Quinn, you're absolutely right there. Hang tight. Don't go anywhere, Quinn. We want to make sure we get books to you. So don't hang up. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So, Office Depot near Kalamazoo, Michigan, you had employees, and the local Republican Party was holding a Charlie Kirk vigil. So they placed a prepaid order. They went in to pick up their flyers for the vigil, and Office Depot said, oh, yeah, that's political propaganda. We don't do that here. Flat out told, we've got the video on ToddStearns.com. Go and check it out for yourself. It's unbelievable. So you've got Office Depot, and when you see the employees, you know they're like woke as the day is long. So anyway, good on Office Depot because they stepped in and said, this is horrifying. It's unacceptable. They launched an immediate review, and before the end of the weekend, the person that was responsible for all that got fired. And I say good for them. Here's how bad it is. Matthew Dowd over at MS, what is it now? It's a PMS now. PMS now, Matthew Dowd fired because of his vile comments. And people, it's just insane. So now you've got over at Clemson University, you've got three faculty members over there. One of them is actually calling for more conservatives to be assassinated, and the university's not doing anything about it. Now, here's what I think needs to happen. I'm tired of these games, folks. I'm tired of second chances. I say we need to step up, demand our lawmakers start defunding these schools. And it's not a matter of, well, if you do it just one more time, and we're going to pull the plug. No, no, no. The one more time is done with. It's time to play hardball. Let's go to Oklahoma, radio station KSCB. Craig, what's on your mind?
Hey, I just a little bit of perspective. I just got in the car to go somewhere. I haven't been listening long to your show today, but you know, the day before Charlie Kirk was even conceived into this world, the God of our universe knew the outcome of September 10th, and Charlie was about the work of God. And I heard another talk show host state the Bible verse that talks about when he was received in the hands of God, he was told, well, good and well, my faithful servant. I read that verse, the lost way to actually written. But for us as Christians that are left behind, these kinds of things make a big wave. And then in a little while, they taper off and people forget. But Christians need to step up and carry the torch and confront evil. The Bible talks about good being perceived as evil and evil as good in the latter days. And I believe these are indications of that. And we need to be very diligent about God's work and reaching the lost. And I so much appreciate what Charlie Kirk stood for. And I just so much pray that there will people rise up and step up behind him and with him. And our prayers continue to be with his wife and family.
Craig, do you see this as an inflection point in American history, much like MLK's assassination was?
Well, it'll be very interesting to see. I think it's dependent on how, not the conservative people, but those who are born-again Christians, how they react through this situation and where we go with it. You know, I'm not very young anymore. I'm 61. But, you know, I wasn't a political student of that era particularly, but and I'm not a Bible scholar, but I very much know that we are working toward the end times. And you know, on that day when that timer comes down, we won't have any more work to do. It'll be too late, but we have time now, and I think these are signs that need to prompt us as Christians.
Yeah, I'm with you, Craig, and I do think this is an inflection point, and I say that because most of the people that followed Charlie are young teenagers, very impressionable. These kids, I think, are going to be so politically active in the coming years. And it sort of ties into this resurgence of faith with young people going back to the church and really wanting to do a deep dive. It's not one of these shallow, you know, 4-point self-help sermons. You know, they're looking for substance and they're looking for meaning and purpose in their lives. And I saw in my message on, you know, last week in at the first Charlie Kirk Vigil and the second Charlie Kirk Vigil was really to the young men in the audience. Get a job, get married, start a family. You've got to do those things. And we have got, you know, if we're able to build up that generation and gird them, then I think that we're going to be looking at a very different country in the next 5, 10, 20 years.
Yeah, I agree. I would like to just say I raised 2 children now. They've both graduated from college. They've both gone to universities in the state of Oklahoma. And while they were raised in the church at home, and they've grown up to be good, productive kids, and I think they think mostly right. But the leaning, the agenda that was promoted to them during those years in college, there are effects to that, regardless of what your foundation is. And any opportunity we have to speak to young married who maybe grew up in the church but have been exposed to a lot of our cultural woke ideas through the universities, we need to encourage those people to seek out truth, because they've come to the point where we need to be tolerant. And while I believe we need to be acceptant of all people and love all people, I don't know that tolerant is the right word.
No, I think that's a very bad word in this context. And I'll tell you, Craig, I see that. You know, I've hired over the years, I've hired a lot of young, very talented staff. And it's interesting, some of them, I even knew before they went into college, when they were, you know, very conservative, very solid in their belief system. They go through the university system and, you know, those ideas and beliefs are moderated. You know, it is a dangerous thing what's happening in a lot of these university campuses. I know last night, Carrie Lake was talking about this at the Kennedy Center vigil. Let's take a listen to what she had to say. A message for moms and dads, and so especially moms.
How does a 22-year-old become so filled with hate? 5 years earlier, I was told he was a Trump supporter. And we sent our kids off to college and they brainwashed him. I am making a plea to mothers out there. Do not send your children into these indoctrination camps. Don't do it. Do not do it. At one moment, that 22-year-old who shot Charlie was a baby in his mother's arms. And by all accounts, those parents did a good job raising him, until he was sent off to be brainwashed. We have lived through the most horrific brainwashing campaign in the history of mankind.
Yeah. Yeah, we have. You know, Craig, it's interesting. Not only do we need to be, and my heart breaks for this family. It seems to me they did just about everything right. I mean, you know, once the kid is out the door, you know, that's his responsibility. But the reality is, if this kid was radicalized, we need to know who's funding this and who's responsible, because they've got to pay a price too. They have a responsibility, and they ought to be held accountable for what happened to Charlie. All right, Craig, thank you for that call. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. But moms, seriously, you need to stop sending your kids to these public taxpayer-funded universities, because they are nothing more than indoctrination camps. We've got to start doing our homework, and we also have to start rooting out these leftists that are on these university campuses. Before we go to break, I want to play some. This is just, and we could do hours of this, all right? But this is what they've been spewing in the media about conservatives over the years. Cut 8.
No one has ever been more dangerous to this country than Donald Trump, and he is a fascist to his core.
And him and shut down the Senate! We are at war!
We're in a war right now.
We are at war.
So you have to be willing to do whatever is necessary in order to save the country.
And that's why the gloves are off.
Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism
that threatens the very foundations of our republic.
And yes, there are many threats to democracy. We see it with these extreme candidates.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country, and maybe there will be.
But you can only push people so far. And then they start to take matters into their own hands.
What the American public want is for us to bring actual weapons to this bar fight. This is an actual fight.
You know, this is literally call to arms.
The MAGA movement is a threat.
But Michelle Wood says that, you know, when they go low, we go high.
No. With all due respect, if they go low, we don't go high.
When they go low, we kick them.
We take them to the mud and choke them out.
And make sure that they stay down. And you know what? Kick them when they're down, because they deserve it.
Get up in the face of some Congress people.
We are going to be in your face. We are going to be on your...
We have to fight this in the streets.
We're going to fight it in the streets.
It's time to step out of your comfort zone and step out into the streets.
To our Republican colleagues, if you do not see the light, we will bring the fire. Resist!
You and your little friend off of Twitter, y'all about to find out.
And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
He's not going to have a third term. He may not finish this term.
Yes, the last few days you woke up thinking there might be news. Just saying. Just saying. There will be news sometime, just so you know.
That's Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota, disappointed that Donald Trump is still alive. And dare we forget the comment made by Barack Hussein Obama himself in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. I was there. I was a reporter with Fox News Channel at the time. And Barack Obama told the crowd, if they bring a knife, talking about the Republicans, if they bring a knife, we bring a gun. That's what we've been. It's not even battling. We've just been turning a blind eye to it. We haven't called anybody out on this. You've got our elected leaders, and they're saying, well, we still need to reach out across the aisle. I'm not doing that because I don't know if they're going to chop my hand off. I mean, these are some very vile, very evil people that we're talking about here. And God said we got to hate evil. We've got to. All right, got to take a break first. 901-260-5926. Then we can hate evil. But 901-260-5926. By the way, Rob Finnerty's show is just crushing it over on Newsmax. Millions are joining Rob on the air every night, 8 o'clock Eastern, even President Trump. And, of course, Rob is looking at the media's war on Trump this week, giving you the facts about the National Guard in cities like Memphis, New York, Chicago. And he also tells you the truth about the Jeffrey Epstein files, and he reveals big media's agenda on Trump's health. You need to watch Rob Finnerty on Newsmax. Check out your cable system, Newsmax, on all the major systems. You can also download the free Newsmax app. It doesn't cost a single penny, and you can watch in minutes. Finnerty, the fastest-growing primetime news show in America. Find out why even President Trump is tuning in. More than 40 million Americans go to Newsmax for news they can trust, because we are real news for real people. And welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. So coming up in the next hour, we'll talk more about this Clemson University story. Also, President Trump, and this is breaking news that we can now share with you. President Trump will officially be signing the documentation necessary to send the National Guard, to deploy the National Guard to my hometown of Memphis, Tennessee. That news just coming, and the announcement is going to be at 4 o'clock Eastern time in the Oval Office. And our very own Ben Dieter is going to be there. We have dispatched Ben. The White House reached out earlier this morning. They're like, can you get to D.C. for this event? And I'm like, no, I'm in Memphis. Can I send somebody? And Dylan, Dieter was the first name that popped into my mind.
He's a little closer.
I hope that's not a mistake.
We'll see.
He's wearing a suit, though.
That is good.
So this is good. And I think he's going to be able to get a question in. If the president always takes questions during these things. So this is going to be exciting.
Yes.
The president, the White House, just sending out this announcement. Memphis has a crime problem and residents agree. And you know what I love about this? You know, we have the media here kind of leans to the left, right? They must have included links to 24 liberal television news stations in Memphis with crime stories. It's brilliant because the mayor announced to the city on Friday that Memphis doesn't have a crime problem, that everything is just fine, and President Trump sending the National Guard is un-American, anti-American is what he said, and anti-democratic. While they were doing that yesterday in a very wealthy section of downtown called Harbor Town near the Bass Pro Shop Pyramid, right behind it, you had gangbangers that were doing a shootout during Saturday morning brunch. You can't make this up. It's just really unbelievable what's happening. So we'll get into more of that. Do you think it's a good idea, ladies and gentlemen, to dispatch the National Guard to American cities? And after Memphis, where would you like to see the president deploy National Guard troops? So we'll be talking about that. Also, a pastor who preached against Charlie Kirk during his sermon on Sunday. We'll get you some information on that as well. Hey, head over to ToddStearns.com and take advantage of all the great free resources we have. My podcast, my newsletter. You can also sign up for my Substack, ToddStearns.substack.com, and you'll be able to get all of our content advertising free. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour three of The Big Show coming up next.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Stearns radio program. Happy to have you with us today. In just a couple of hours, President Trump will be making a big announcement from the Oval Office. Our D.C. correspondent, Ben Dieter, we have dispatched him to the White House, and he'll be reporting a little bit later on today, and you'll be able to watch him on Newsmax tonight at 5 o'clock. But the president is officially, he's making it official, sending the National Guard to Memphis, Tennessee. Also, may possibly send in U.S. troops. It is that dangerous here. Memphis, we have 340% our crime rate here, 344% higher than the national average. That's how bad it is. And the people here are just desperate, and they are so grateful. Ladies and gentlemen, you're not going to see this on the national news coverage, but the average Memphian, the average black Memphian is so grateful for the work of people like Senator Marsha Blackburn and our great state senator we have here. And I think big things are in store for this guy, State Senator Brent Taylor. They are tough on crime, and they're fighting not only our George Soros-funded district attorney, but we're also dealing with Republicans in the state legislature that won't step in and do what needs to be done to remove this district attorney. That's unacceptable. And while the Republicans are bickering, you've got lawmakers like Senator Brent Taylor, who's been on this program a time or two, and Senator Marsha Blackburn, who are out there saying, we've got to make Memphis matter. We've got to make Memphis safe again. And then you've got the far-left Democrats who have ruled Memphis for a generation, more than a generation, for almost 60 years, the Democrats have controlled Memphis. They are responsible for everything. Well, there's a woman by the name of Tammy Sawyer, and she is the General Sessions clerk, and she came out and she's been in the national media all weekend over what she said about the National Guard coming to town. And I want you to listen very closely because she is playing the race card here, and she's very concerned that we're going to have a bunch of white country folks patrolling the streets of Memphis. You can't make this up. Take a listen to Cut 11.
It's sad that the day after this country once again recognized 9/11, President Donald Trump has announced even further reduction of our rights as citizens of this country. Here in Memphis, Tennessee, we are facing several challenges, and we know that number one is poverty. But let me tell you a little bit about what happens if the National Guard comes to town. Currently, Tennessee Highway Patrol just deployed an additional 50 troops to this city. Since they've come to town on Wednesday night, we have had 1,000 tickets added to our docket every day. We've had 70 arrests since their arrival on Wednesday night, made solely by Tennessee Highway Patrol. The state of the jails is beyond critical. Currently, any day you can walk into intake and there are at least 240 people waiting for trial and waiting for bail to be set. If the governor and the president of this country enact dual authorization to deploy the National Guard to this city, they will have the right to arrest citizens. If the president enacts this, then they won't have the right to arrest. But from what we understand, this will be a dual authorization. We as a county don't have the funding. Our jail does not have the space. We don't have the number of employees that we will need to support federal occupation. As my stance as the General Sessions Court Clerk is that instead of sending more people here to add to the jail, send us the resources that Shelby County, the blackest county in Tennessee, needs. Our students graduate, 2 out of 3 of them graduate from Memphis Shelby County schools functionally illiterate. Where do we need intervention from the federal government? We need that intervention in the schools. And as a black woman, I'm going to say,
here it comes.
Tammy Sawyer is going to say that I am terrified of what this means in the city where Tyree Nichols was killed by police officers. As a black woman, I'm going to say, what happens when rural people from counties that look nothing like Shelby County get to be a part of the National Guard and police a city that they have been told is violent, that they have been told is not equal to them? We are not only at crisis in our operations, we are going to be at crisis in our community. I do not support this decision by the elected president of this country nor the governor of this state, and I ask them to not take away our right to police ourselves and to support our people. Send us money, don't send us more troops.
Yeah, they want money so they can go down and, I don't know, go to Beale Street, go to the casinos. I don't know what they're doing with the money. But what's interesting, ladies and gentlemen, that's the kind of in-your-face, blatant racism that exists in a place like Memphis. If you had white lawmakers talking like that, you'd have Al Sharpton on the first flight into Memphis International Airport. But that's the level of hatred to the white man. So I want to clear up a couple of things this woman said. First of all, she mentioned Tyree Nichols. It's a horrible story. So we have a diversity hire in the police chief seat. Her name is C.J. Davis. Very nice person. We actually judged a casserole competition together at the Ag Center during the state fair, just one day after a mass murderer filmed live on Facebook shootings all across the city. And as we're sitting there tasting the casseroles, I'm thinking to myself, shouldn't you be like somewhere else, Chief? Far be it for me to say anything. But anyway, the diversity hire police chief lowered standards, so they ended up hiring a bunch of thugs and gave them badges. And those thugs ended up killing Tyree Nichols. And you know the story. I'm not going to rehash it. But let me say this. The people responsible for that happened to be black officers. There weren't any country folk. So when she's talking about rural people, she's talking about white people. And it's just unbelievable. All right. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to the phones. As a matter of fact, we have a caller from rural Tennessee.
Yee-hoo! Hey there, Todd. How you doing there, biggin?
Hello. And who are we talking to here?
Woo! Todd, this here is Bocephus Earl Clodknocker from Bucksnort, Tennessee. A piece down the road.
Oh, I see. Hello. Are you at a bluegrass? What's going on there in the background, Bocephus?
Yee-hoo! Yes, sir. We're having a big old party before we head on down to Memphis, Tennessee. I can't wait to see old Tammy Sawyer. This old redneck, going to give her a big hug and a slobber knocker of a kiss. Come here, Tammy.
Oh, I don't think you can do that, Bocephus. I think that might be, I don't know, inappropriate.
Well, that's how we do things down here in the country. Us rural folks, we're just real neighborly like that. We just like to hug the pretty woman. And she's a pretty woman. She's a lot of woman. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So you're coming to Memphis, Bocephus? Have you been to the big city before?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Went on down to Yazoo City, Mississippi. Saw old Jerry Clower down there once. He's a good feller. He's a big old boy, too. He's not pretty like Miss Tammy is.
No, I can only imagine not. So you're excited about coming to Memphis. You know, Tammy Sawyer, I think she's probably, Bocephus, not a big fan of you country folks.
Well, that's because she ain't just met any of us. We're just a bunch of good old Baptist rednecks down here, and we just love playing the fiddle and playing the banjo and woo-wee! Listen to old Jerry Clower. That's what we do. But I'm just going to give old Tammy a big old hug and a slobberknocker of a kiss when we get up there. I think she'll come around.
All right. Well, Bocephus, thank you there. Bocephus Earl Clodnocker. Is that his? Clodnocker is his name, Dylan? Is that what he?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah.
He said he was going to give her a slobberknocker of a. I think that.
It's a very generous Southern thing to do.
Well, it is. I've never met somebody from the South, from rural America, where, you know, they were not neighborly and cordial. So I just don't know why Tammy Sawyer would be up in arms over that. Guy sounded familiar, though. Might be related. I don't know. Do we have an Uncle Bocephus in the family? Well, that would be the Bucksnort Clodnockers. All right, we've got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926, our number. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, the FBI is investigating social media posts that appeared to indicate they knew ahead of time, they had foreknowledge of Charlie Kirk's assassination. So the Washington Free Beacon is, they've got three sources that have ties to the investigation, along with screenshots that were obtained by the Washington Free Beacon. The FBI saying that the posts are very suspicious. One referenced the date of Kirk's assassination, September 10th, more than a month before it took place. They were all deleted in the days following the killing. Several of the accounts appear to be transgender individuals. At least one of them followed Tyler Robinson's roommate, with whom Robinson was allegedly in a relationship. All of this on TikTok, by the way. Among the suspicious posts on X, one from a person who tweeted September 10th will be a very interesting day. On August 6th, he wrote that. Quote, tweeted his original post with the caption, I plead the fifth after Kirk's murder. Another account that appears to follow Robinson's trans partner on Instagram retweeted that post in addition to declaring, we blanking did it, above a post about Kirk's death. Folks, do you think we might be dealing with a conspiracy here? Multiple people involved. Bongino would not rule that out during an interview earlier today with Fox News. 901-260-5926. I want to bring into the conversation good friend, former great lawmaker there in the state of South Carolina, Adam Morgan. Adam, hope you're doing well today.
Hey, Todd. Good to be with you.
So we've been following this story out of Clemson University, and the latest headline out of the Post and Courier in Greenville, Clemson University now firing one employee, and they have stripped two professors of teaching duties over Charlie Kirk's comments.
Yeah, 4 days too late, and who knows how much irreparable damage to the university. I don't know if you've seen the outpouring of students saying it's a hostile environment. There's even a student that I said Donald Trump needs to be next in the wake of all of this. You have all the people saying they're going to not donate, not send their kids there anymore. So, I mean, I'm glad they're firing the one who said in a world of Charlie Kirk be a Tyler Robinson. So obviously somebody who's inciting actual violence on campuses after Charlie Kirk was assassinated on a college campus. That person has no business teaching, but it took them 4 days to do that when 12 other colleges immediately removed. And then they have two others that openly celebrated his death that have not been removed. I think that all three need to immediately be removed, and we're not going to let up until that happens. And I also think that it's time that the president of the university, who has completely botched this and caused this irreparable damage to the school, I think it's time for him to be removed as well.
No, I'm with you on here. I think, Adam, that the state lawmakers have to play hardball. Now, does the state allocate funding to Clemson?
Does it ever, Todd? $300 million of taxpayer money goes to Clemson alone. And they completely ignored the calls from the lieutenant governor, the attorney general, all of our congressmen, the Republicans, the House speaker, everyone completely ignored them for days, pushing it off. And what I would argue was just the hope that it would blow over. You know, they were one of the only schools, if not the only one, to treat, especially one of actually inciting violence, telling college kids to be a murderer and to emulate that, to ignore that for this long and only cave and do the right thing after this massive pressure. I mean, Donald Trump weighed in and retweeted the chair of the Freedom Caucus saying, you know, defund Clemson, take back all those $300 million if they're, you know, going to not deal with these professors. And it's just ridiculous that it took that kind of pressure for this college to do the right thing. And I blame the leadership, and I think they need to be held accountable. This is a unique moment in America. These vile people who are spewing hate and inciting violence have made themselves known. And it come to find out they're in the classroom with our kids. We just got one fired here in the county I live in Greenville. Who was doing the same thing, and they've made themselves known. It's a unique moment. We better take full advantage, because if we lose this battle, if we allow people to praise and incite violence, you know, it's Charlie Kirk today, it's anybody tomorrow. We have to honor his memory. We have to fight for this country, and the way we fight is the way the right always does, is peaceably and hold people accountable and follow the rule of law. And when people act like this, they actually have penalties and are removed from the positions and keep our kids safe when they're at their schools.
Adam, even though they're getting ready, again, I think all three of them ought to be fired, and that hasn't happened. Just one has. But I'm wondering, do you guys have the numbers in the State House to even partially defund the university, and do you think they might consider doing that?
So South Carolina has a Republican-controlled governor and a Republican-controlled House and Senate. So they could immediately defund Clemson. In fact, that was the tweet that that Donald Trump jumped in on, was the Freedom Caucus had called to call a special session to defund them immediately. And they haven't done that. For whatever reason, Republican leadership, you know, they sent a strongly worded statement, as so many Republicans often do. Do I believe they will defund them over this, or will they even push to remove the president of the university? I don't believe they will. I think if the people rise up and demand it, they might. But, you know, we've got to have accountability both for the professors that are saying this kind of stuff and for lawmakers who, every time these kind of tragedies happen and these terrible situations, they send strongly worded statements and then do nothing. And you have Republicans that are doing the same thing, just kind of waiting for it to blow over. But we need action now. We don't need inaction. And if they're going to get serious about this, and it's not the only college. Winthrop College here in South Carolina has a professor that said some similar stuff. That person has not been let go. So there's several colleges that we need to be looking at in the next budget that I'll definitely be advocating for, and that I know the South Carolina Freedom Caucus will be fighting for. But people have to pay attention, and we have to follow up come the budget time.
Yeah,
because that's really the moment, the purse strings and where the money goes. That's what controls. That's why Clemson caved. Once the president himself, Donald Trump, said defund Clemson, that's when they caved. You know, and it shouldn't take that. The Republican legislators have the power. They should be able to do it. If Clemson actually feared them and took them seriously, they would have caved, you know, 2 days ago.
All right. Well, Adam, we're going to have to leave it there. We're coming up on a break, but I appreciate you bull talking these folks here. This is just unacceptable. And these people have no business being anywhere near a taxpayer funded classroom or around kids. I mean, it's really that simple. We're going to continue that conversation tonight on our Newsmax show. Adam, thank you again. Good to hear from you, my friend.
Thanks for having me on.
All right. Hang tight, everybody. That music means we've got to take a quick break. I mean, what do you think here, folks? Do we play hardball? Do we demand that these universities be defunded over this? 901-260-5926, our number. This is the Todd Stern Show. Well, over the weekend, Howie Kurtz over at Fox News, man, that guy, he's a piece of work, that one, saying Charlie Kirk is no saint, that there's extremism on both sides. Stop it. Just stop it. And shame on Fox News for platforming this guy. That's what really bothers me. You know, Fox News, and again, this is all in the spirit of what I talked about in the first hour of the show. I love my time at Fox News. I love the people at Fox. Well, most of the people I loved. I had a great experience. The news division, and hear me on this, the news division, the news side of Fox, it is just as woke as CNN or PMS now. I mean, it's really that bad. And unfortunately, my division, the radio division, was on the news side. So you can pretty much understand why I got the whacked. Excuse me. I want to play some audio here. My goodness. Cut number 15.
I'm going to kind of not break some news, but yeah. What's missing? We don't have a single person from Fox here.
Yes.
Right? And in years past.
I gave you the opportunity just now. I was hoping you'd say.
Yeah, and I'm being nice. I love Fox. They've been very good to me.
Sure.
I hope we can heal our relationship, because for whatever reason, it's gone off the reservation since Tucker's departure.
Yeah.
I haven't been on. So it's not exactly, you know, you just look at, you just look at Grabian, no Charlie Kirk for 9 months, right? And so we had to kind of do an event without Fox, and that was a great thing, man, because sometimes desperation is the mother of innovation, right?
Yes.
So we kind of grew accustomed to love him, Jesse Waters, love him, Greg Gutfeld, but that wasn't a thing. We couldn't do it. They're not allowed to be here, right? And so we kind of sat in the conference room. We said, well, let's redesign the whole mantra. Like, let's go culture. Yes. Let's still do the politics thing. And, man, what we pulled off, it's not that I want credit, but we deserve it. I'll be honest. Yeah.
And they should get it. I don't know what's going on here, Dylan. It's all the allergies. They're killing me over here.
This season.
My goodness. So my apologies, folks. So, look, here's the deal. Fox News banned Charlie Kirk. So I know that they're like, you know, singing a different tune now. But the reality is, for a very long time, they banned Charlie. They refused to let anybody from Fox News appear at any of Charlie's conferences. And I can tell you that there was a time when we were not allowed to have him on the radio over there at Fox News. And I don't know why. You know, they did the same thing to several other folks that were prominent in the conservative movement. And it's troubling and it's disappointing. But again, I think a lot of it has to do with the news division there over at Fox. But they've conveniently left all of this out. So when you then every now and again, you'll see the true colors come out. That the lady, the blonde, they've got. Well, that doesn't narrow it down. The one at the White House, Jackie, is it Heimlich Maneuver or something? That's her name. She hates Donald Trump. And it shows in all of her reporting. Just so, it's so biased. I mean, she may as well be working over at PMS now. I've never seen anything like it. So, just a reminder of who these people really are. And people show their true colors. And it is what it is. They did it with me. They did it with a lot of other folks. So, there you go. But I'm glad they came around and they're doing the... And so, here's the thing. You think they've come around and they're doing the right thing, and then Howard Kurtz comes out on Sunday and attacks Charlie Kirk. What's wrong with you? Unbelievable. Just really unbelievable and incredibly disappointing. But that's the reality of it. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. There's a very popular Christian artist, and Dylan, I know you're like a big Christian music. You like all sorts of music. Forrest Frank, are you familiar with Forrest Frank?
Yeah, he's an up and coming Christian artist, but he's very popular.
Is that the one where everybody was doing the little dance hand motion thingies?
Possibly.
It's
pretty vague, but sorry. The hand motion things comes with Christian music.
I think I've aged out of contemporary Christian music.
It seems like it.
You graduate to Southern gospel.
Yeah.
So anyway, Forrest Frank is hugely popular, a young Christian artist. And I guess a lot of people, he said some nice things about Charlie Kirk. And now people are like unfollowing Forrest Frank. Take a listen.
30,000 people unfollowed me because I posted about Charlie Kirk and I said that Jesus Christ is Lord. Good. I don't want you to follow me. I don't want you to track my music. I don't want you to come to my shows. I don't want you to do any of that if you don't do this one thing, and that is follow Jesus Christ, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the one who is and the one who is to come. He's coming back real soon. So if you have not gotten your heart right with him and dropped down on your knees and repented to him, today is the day. The hour is at hand. I don't know if you can feel it too. There's a heaviness. Something shifted, and I don't care. I don't care anymore. I just want you to know that Jesus Christ is here and he loves you.
Yeah, well said. And it's really a bold thing because I'm going to tell you something. I love Christian music. I really do. And love the artist. I love the community. But can I just say that community is a little messed up, and it's been that way for a long time. People are terrified within the Christian world to talk about anything. The only time they do is when an artist either comes out of the closet or is coming out of the closet. A lot of them do that. Go figure. It is what it is. But if you're anti-Trump, boom, you're popular in the Christian music world, which it's an anomaly when you have artists that, for example, like Forrest Frank or, for example, John Cooper from Skillet, who is really just ferociously involved in the culture. Those guys are the anomalies in the Christian music, dare I say, industry, not so much ministry. And maybe that is the subtle difference there. And it's funny because I had a front row view of this. Dylan, when I was back at Fox, people, they would bring up all the artists, and we still get a lot of people, can you bring the artist on? And we're always like, happy to do it, but we got to talk about whatever the big story of the day is, right? And they would never want to do that at all because, we don't want to alienate anybody. Okay, let's talk about it in this particular context here. It seems to me you would want to alienate the fan base that wants to kill people because of their political views. But that's just me. That's just me. So we just have a lot of work to do, folks. We truly do. I want to play this audio, and this is from a young lady. And she went to church yesterday for the first time in 20 years. Take a listen.
We went to church today. It was the first time in 20 years for me and Devin. It was the first time for our children. After the events of the last week, Devin and I had a lot of talking that was happening between us. About the type of life that we want for ourselves and how we want our boys to be. We talk about Charlie Kirk. We talk about a man of God who was not afraid to stand in his convictions in anything. And we are raising three boys that will one day be men. And we want those boys to be as strong in their convictions as Charlie Kirk was. And we realized we had been doing a great disservice by not taking them to church and introducing them to faith up until this point. It is because of Charlie Kirk that we went to church today. We got online and we found one that we thought would be a good first try. Some of them are hit or miss, so we didn't know if we would like this one or not. we went in and everybody was so warm and welcoming, which was great. Before the service, they led a prayer for Charlie Kirk and for our nation.
This is amazing. And I'm wondering if other parents did the same thing yesterday. I know in our church that I saw a lot of people that I did not recognize, and it looked like we had a lot more people there than, you know, than normal. And I've been hearing similar reports from really all across the country. But I do want to go back, though, to the issue why those people are going to church, because we have just suffered a national calamity. And people, much like after 9/11, and I don't want to equate the two, but after 9/11, people rushed back to the church because they were looking for answers. And that's what's happening here. So for those of you who attended a church and you just had your regular worship service and there were no mentions made or obscure references made, what a missed opportunity to address those people who came to your church looking for answers and looking to hear what the Bible has to say about what's happening in this country and what the Bible says about life. It's just a missed opportunity. That's all. It's nothing out of anger or hostility, but it's a missed opportunity. Now, my friend, Dr. Paul Chappell, I love this man, and he is one of the most brilliant scholars, Bible scholars I know, and he is unafraid to speak the gospel, a message. He's the pastor at Lancaster Baptist Church in Los Angeles County, California. You got to be a pretty tough-skinned Christian to be ministering in Los Angeles. Here's what Pastor Chappell had to say yesterday.
Not only do we celebrate our worthy Savior this morning, but we pause this morning to give tribute to a man who laid down his life in the service of the Lord this week. A man that is a martyr for his Christian faith, a man that many of us knew and respected, Charlie Kirk. Charlie was our brother in Christ. Charlie was a loving husband and a loving father. He was a witness for the gospel wherever he went. He was an apologist for the Bible. He felt that the positions we held should actually affect our everyday choices and decisions, including our voting. He reminded me really of Stephen in the book of Acts, chapter 6. Stephen was a man full of the Holy Ghost. He was a man who spoke eloquently the truths of God. He was a man who was humble in the face of opposition. It was said of Stephen that when his critics sneered at him and disagreed with him, he had the face of an angel. And Charlie Kirk went to many hard places proclaiming the truth and always responding in love. I want to ask all of our church family and all of those watching on live stream today to pray for his wife, Erica, to pray for his children. I was texting with his pastor this morning, and I know his pastor's heart is heavy. Pray for him and pray for believers all around America who sense the loss of this man who has given his life for the Lord. I think of the words of Joseph as he spoke about his brethren's evil. And he said to them, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And we believe that all things work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose." Charlie's legacy must not end in admiration. It must continue with action. We must continue with the gospel. We must be faithful in our witness and in our testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want you to join me in prayer for Charlie's family, for this grieving nation. And then we're going to watch a video that was produced by the White House. It's quite extraordinary, actually, the message that they shared. And we'll sing another song following the video. But let's begin with prayer. Father, we praise and thank you for the promise of heaven. We thank you that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And Father, we thank you for the testimony of Charlie Kirk, a man who loved America, a man who loved you most of all. Bless his family. Bless our nation. And while we know that there are many voices of hate, we pray that Christians around this world would stand up and be heard. That they would recognize the longer we wait to witness, the longer we wait to serve, the more we'll perish without the truth. And so bless our country, give us comfort, and bless this service, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
And welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. You know what? Tomorrow, we got to end the show on a positive note. Tomorrow, we're going to get around to Jasmine Crockett's pastor, who claims Charlie Kirk was a fake Christian. So, anyway, we'll tell you more about that on tomorrow's show. I want to play some audio from a comedian. This is, she's one of the clean comedians, so I don't think she doesn't use a lot of bad language. And her name is LaToya Polk, and she is based right here in Memphis, Tennessee. I have to say I'm not familiar with her, but there was a big comedy thing over the weekend, and she was one of the stars. And, of course, everybody here is talking about the National Guard. It's a very exciting time to be in Memphis. People are really fired up about this. You've got women that are just doing all sorts of great stuff, like women's clubs. That sounded bad. Don't stop. The women's social club. No, that sounds even worse. The ladies' service clubs, thank you. They're really excited about these young guys coming to town. Anyway, LaToya Polk making some jokes about this last night, cut number 5. She's not wrong. She says that the guys here are just not good. And so she's very excited, and she's telling the women of Memphis to, I guess, shower, bathe, you know, make yourself look presentable for the troops. It's almost like Liberation Day. And Dylan, what did she say? Get out your recipes. So you don't want to be serving the National Guard troops, KFC. You got to be frying some chicken, and you got to have the potato salad. Oh, banana pudding.
A nice home-cooked meal.
That's the way to a man's heart, right? So I just, can you imagine the scene? You're going to have all of the women of the Mid-South lining the streets, like with aprons and, you know, they've got the casserole dishes.
We're back.
It's like Liberation Day in Paris after World War II, right? We ran the Nazis out. Yep. Oh, my goodness. The French women were, you know, they were putting on their dresses and going to town.
We will be ready for the National Guard.
In every single way. People are very excited. Others are wondering where they can volunteer. I think they've got it. I mean, we appreciate it. We love that volunteer spirit, but we think the National Guard has it. All right, and that is going to do it. So, ladies, work on those recipes. Start baking some brownies. All right, we'll be back tomorrow, everybody. Take care. This is the Todd Stearns Show. Be safe, America.